You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Your Making It Worse. We're here, we're queer, who cares? I'm Elliot Glazer.
And I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott. Textual healing.
Brent, this one's going to hit home for you, I think, real hard. Uh-huh. A real potential game changer for you, because it's about Chick-fil-A.
That's right.
So Cynthia Newman was...
Not Nixon. I literally first read this as Cynthia Nixon, and I was like, she lost the governor's race, and now she works at Rider University.
Oh, no. No, this woman, Cynthia Nixon, who was the dean of the college...
You just said Cynthia Nixon.
Oh, shit.
Cynthia Newman.
Excuse me. Yeah.
So she's this dean of a New Jersey college and
Rider University in Jersey.
Right.
She stepped down from her role because she felt, quote, feelings of personal attack in protest. She stepped down in protest after the school decided to not allow Chick-fil-A on campus.
What was her role?
She was the dean of the College of Business Administration.
Right. But she stayed on as faculty.
Yes.
Just not the dean.
Which I don't understand.
Well, she probably is a professor. She probably has tenure. Yeah. There. And so she's on faculty still. She still gets paid. She'll still write and work at the
she's
university.
She's not so principled that she'll give up her
entire
salary.
But she's not
salary.
Like management, basically.
Okay. So
to be clear, this university said we don't want Chick-fil-A on our university because of their, I guess, anti-gay stance.
LGBT.
Are they still anti-gay?
Probably not.
Well, that's the
question. We'll get to that. But she, in protest, because she sounds very conservative, decided to step down from her role as dean.
Right. So the idea is that the idea, and it's a little bit long-winded, is that Chick-fil-A was going to open a spot on campus, knowing that they have anti-LGBTQ policies, the university balked.
Right.
And her response is that she's offended.
She's appalled
that gay people might feel that it was an insensitive move to have Chick-fil-A around, which I think makes sense, but to Alan's point, are they still practicing homophobic?
We still. I'm sure half the kids are wearing Urban Outfitters shit, and that's a Christian company.
Right,
like,
right.
It's. I think this whole.
So I wanted to have a discussion about this because I think we can settle it once and for all on this podcast.
Oh,
are you allowed to go to Chick-fil-A? Because I've always voted. Now, for the last couple of years, I've been firmly on the side of yes, you can. Because there are shitty people at shitty companies everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And with that said, and we can get to this later, I think Chick-fil-A is overrated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We'll get to that.
Ellen, what do you think?
I mean, okay. So, like, I often make decisions on where I'll eat based on if they serve Coke or not. And if I hear that a place like Taco Bell doesn't serve Coke, I'm like, I'm not going there. And it's not like it's a moral thing. It's just like I just have a personal stance
that I won't
do that.
I love Pepsi. I love Mountain Dew.
No, I can't. I can't. It's Coke or die.
Dr. Pepper.
I can't. I love, but that's Coke.
Well, will you go to Chick-fil-A let's say they do have Coke?
I believe Chick-fil-A does have Coke.
Okay.
Because my mom goes there and she's like me, that she only drinks Coke. So I don't know. I mean, I've heard – I don't really eat Chick-fil-A. I can't even remember the last time I've had it, but I've heard it's overrated. So – and I also – I love KFC original recipe. And you know what also? Carl's Jr.'s crispy chicken tenders are delicious. I had them last night.
Yes, this is true, by the way. Yeah. I haven't had them, but I've heard lore.
They're delicious.
That Carl's Jr. has
some of the best fried chicken
in the industry.
My ex-boyfriend texted me once to let me know that – the chicken tenders at Carl's Jr. were out of this world.
They are.
So I'm hoping that Carl is not homophobic. But so you say basically you're not sure.
I mean, I think there is a difference. You're right that there are, to be all serious about it, there are shitty people who work at companies across the world.
Yes.
However, there aren't as many. I mean, maybe there are, but this was a particular problem with the owner of Chick-fil-A.
And their political donations.
And their political donations. Right. And it's, I think it's different when a company like Target, for example, which is a major conglomerate that has very LGBT friendly, and they have a political, this was a couple years ago, but they had a political action committee where they did give to Republican candidates and to Democratic candidates, and some of the Republican candidates were anti-gay.
Right.
And there was this big protest that we should stop going to Target.
Right, right.
And it's like,
yeah, no thanks.
That I don't understand. Mm. But if it's the owner saying stuff and giving donations and being really homophobic, then I think you might have an argument.
No doubt. No doubt. And I needless to say, I wouldn't call someone who doesn't go there a fool. But I think I'm coming from the place of we've won this first round in the gay rights movement. Hopefully we won't recede, but that's yet to be determined. But for right now, you know, I do think we're winning public opinion and we're winning, you know, obviously in courts and so forth and winning over hearts and minds.
Yeah.
So with that said, that's why I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I've
right
heard
now
their mayonnaise is good.
I've had Chick-fil-A and it was bought for me. I didn't go.
Yeah,
and it was delicious. It was
what made
it
delicious? Do you know why it was delicious? Because it was bought for you.
Yeah. Right, that's true. No,
things are better when they're free.
It was really, really, like really, I wasn't going to even eat it. Just again, I'm not somebody who's like that staunchly
so principled, right?
Yeah, principled about it per se, but when I see Chick-fil-A on Melrose or whatever, there is a tinge of disgust just remembering how staunchly anti-gay
were. They're charitable.
And how it became such a – like, remember, it really – unlike anything else, it really was – they were so virulently staunch in their anti-gay policies.
Down.
But then on top of it, there were like record lines of people who were like basically saying fuck you to the gay community and getting going out of their way to get Chick-fil-A, which is such a violently mean thing
but,
to
I mean,
do.
The I have to give some background
on go for
Chick-fil-A
it.
Here just because I think you did good work and it's interesting. The Chick-fil-A's charitable organization, the Wind Shape Foundation, donated over $3.1 million between 2003 and 2009 to anti-LGBTQ groups like Focus on the Family, James Dodson.
Sure.
I mean, groups that I mean,
Dodson
has gone out of his way to compare gay people to having sex with animals and to, I mean, going down a disgusting road. Yeah. And the fact that any corporation would align themselves with someone like that, I mean, even the most conservative organizations probably wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah.
They also like promised. I know it was. I think his name is Dan Cathy, which I still find very funny. The CEO of Chick-fil-A or whatever, but he promised to stop supporting anti-LGBTQ organizations. And then in 2015, their tax filings showed that they donated $1.4 million to anti-LGBTQ groups, including a youth group that believes child abuse causes homosexuality. So, you know,
My childhood abuse made me more gay.
That's fair. That's fair.
Sure.
But for me, to step back into what we're talking about, it is just – it's so – you know, to have this like larger conversation is so important, I think. And then to see this woman, Cynthia Newman, not Nixon, she says, I felt like I had been punched in the stomach when I read that statement because I'm a very committed Christian. I felt it very personally. The statement she was talking about was that the university president said Chick-fil-A was removed as one of the options based on the company's record, widely perceived to be in opposition to the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
Something very simple, very
and
benign.
Also and
very
in opposition to the school's anti-discrimination policy.
Exactly. So for her, it's just so gross to me that this woman not only uses this to say she feels attacked, but then says I'm going to step down from my position, but also stay so I can keep making money.
So I can, it's definitely ridiculous. I actually a couple weekends ago I looked up. Remember Jesus Camp? Remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so
I looked
scary.
Up a bunch of those kids. Obviously, they were kids in the movie. Now they're adults on Facebook just to see what they're like now.
Yeah.
And it was actually fun because I remember that movie was a liberal
terrifying
nightmare.
Terrifying movie.
It was a documentary that came along. It was about evangelical children. I think it came out in 2005, which is like the meat of the Bush years.
Yeah, yeah.
He just won based on gay marriage, all this shit. And I had friends who were so scared of that movie. They were like, these are the next Supreme Court justices and all this shit. Well, a bunch of the kids are agnostic.
Yeah.
Some of them are very conservative, as you can tell. But they they're very conservative in that they, not just politically, but also they had a big family and they stayed around Missouri.
Right.
They're certainly not on the trajectory to be a Supreme Court justice. But weirdly enough, I actually find a couple of the conservative ones kind of charming because they find Jesus in everything. Like this one
Toast.
Dude, the main dude from the movie, he's an adult. And he also does seem like the kind of like religious person that doesn't hate people. I can't speak for him, but like he doesn't seem to condemn anyone on his page. But he was playing basketball and he like twisted his ankle and he was like, God, how do I get better? And just talked about how like a minute later, like he was feeling better and he was like, that's God. That's the hand of God. And he was like, what a fucking
that
great life
to
that
me.
Would be. If
that
I
happened
could
to
do
me
that.
In Israel. I was online at security and this woman was just talking to me. I had Star David necklace on. I have it now. And she was talking to me about why Jews don't like Jesus and all these things. And then she said that she saw Jesus in the lobby of her hotel in Israel, in Jerusalem. And that she then said, and you know, he's white. I know it's the Middle East, but he's white.
That's funny.
And God. I was appalled, and then I asked, did he drink Coke?
And what'd she say?
Yes, only the good
knew.
People drink Coke.
Not even joking.
We're here with Sydney Washington, visiting from New York City.
New York City!
The Big Apple!
Sydney's a comedian, a podcaster. You do Unofficial Expert with Marie Faustin.
Yes.
Is that how she says it?
Faustin, but I like Faustin. The way you say it.
Yeah, you said it very French.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Faustin, yes.
And she's Haitian, and she can speak a little bit of French and Creole, so
excuse me.
Or patois, or whatever she does, yeah.
Well, welcome to Los Angeles.
Yay!
Thank you for doing the show.
That sounds like intimate underwear.
What?
Patois?
Patois. Or I could be talking about my coochie.
Hey!
You like my patois?
Come
and
have a smell of my patois.
Jesus.
I love, I have a friend who calls it a putinesco, which I think is hilarious.
A vagina?
A putinesco, yeah.
A putinesco?
Is your friend male or female?
Male.
Okay.
Yes, your former
Extra.
Roommate.
Yeah.
I always called the clit the little man in the boat.
Ooh, you know? Never even thought about that.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Sydney, what nicknames do you have? No, we don't have to, we don't have to do that. Let's see. Well, you're here.
Yes.
You live in New York, though.
I do.
Are you from here or where are you from?
Wait. I was born in New York to get the street cred.
Yes.
And then I was 2 years old, came to Oakland to have a childhood, you know, big wheel, backyards, got to climb trees and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I moved back to New York when I was 13.
Now, I've heard stories. My boyfriend's from Oakland. Mm-hmm. And I've heard stories about, and you guys are probably around the same age. How old are you?
None of your damn business.
Oh, no.
How dare you?
If you knew how young my boyfriend was,
I don't give a damn about your boyfriend.
You would love it. Hilarious.
Okay.
Hilarious.
I am 50. So.
You look good.
Yeah, no. By the way, I've started lying about my age.
He's
universally.
Yeah, but you've been doing that for years.
That's true.
No, but he's 27.
Okay.
Now, and he.
Oh, you have a young one.
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, look at you. It's a little purse.
It is. But he said stories about Oakland in like the 90s.
Yeah.
And how it wasn't the best of places.
It was not. But my area was super cute because it was like senior citizens and just like everyone like mows the lawn.
Yeah.
And it's like a very family oriented neighborhood. So
nice.
I grew up
senior
cute.
Citizen. Sounds fun. You had a senior citizen.
What are old people going to do? I mean, except be racist. But besides that.
I think technically John Wayne Gacy was considered elderly when he was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one of millions.
That's one of millions.
Yeah.
You're right.
He's a serial killer?
Yes.
Okay.
He put boys in basements.
Wow.
Brother.
Shouldn't they belong there? They belong there, no?
You don't know John Wayne Gacy?
I knew he was like a bad guy, but I wasn't sure exactly what his...
He's not as into murder as we are.
Yeah.
I am not. Are you into murder?
I am not.
Are you into murder?
And it's thriving
well,
they're
right like now. They're like
true crime dudes. Oh, yeah. Because... You have nothing else going on, right?
nothing at all.
When your life is very boring, you're like, who's dead?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Who died?
Who's dead?
It's so bizarre that during the Trump era, I read the news all day. I kind of like glance like through the slits in my fingers. Yeah. I read the news. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I got to relax. Let me turn on a murder documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's something the about it that like somehow soothes me.
I feel like I'm bizarre Alan does way. That. I have other friends who enjoy that, the lurid tales of... Alan loves very, unsolved mysteries.
I think it's very indicative of how a comic works in that like a comic is always exploring why people do and say the things that they do.
True. Yes.
And I think true crime is not necessarily about the actual murder, but about what gets someone to do that.
Mm-hmm. My good friend, Megan Gans, I'm going to name drop.
Okay, do it.
On the podcast. But she's often asked me, she's like, what do you think it is about true crime that women love so much and a lot of gay men? Mm. I think that's like a big demographic.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah. Of course.
Well, for women, it's like, damn, I could have done that. That's what it is. It's just that women are like, I'm capable of doing that.
Of killing someone, but
we don't. We have the power to because we are very calculated and we think ahead and we're always about the future and we're just like, damn, I could have done that and I don't. And I'm a good person for it.
Yeah.
I think watching these documentaries remind me that like, wow, I'm really doing the Lord's work by just being like nice.
Not a murderer.
Not a murderer. You know?
Well, also a lot of like true crime stuff revolves around what we do to women. Like, I mean,
yes!
the majority of murders in this country are of men killing women.
Yes.
And it's their because men their can't their evolve. Yeah. They're terrified of society. They're terrified of feminism. They're terrified of getting out of any sort of norm that they're in. And mm-hmm. so they murder. And it's, I think, for I'm not a woman, obviously, but I know that, like, the draw must be what we do to women and why we're doing it, you know?
But it's not like I watch these documentaries and I'm like, ooh, let me not mess things up. It's not like I'm taking notes and saying like, well, if I don't do this, I'm not going to get murdered because anything can fucking happen in America.
It's true. I think it is partly preparation.
Yes.
Because I'm the kind of guy, I think everyone wants to murder me.
Wait, preparation?
Yeah. You're watching murder documentaries so you know how it happens.
Oh.
And so you're like, I know
what
kind of people to avoid and what kind of scenarios to avoid. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying literally you're consciously thinking like, oh, and let me prepare.
Right.
But I think deep down you're saying, let me absorb all the information so it never happens.
As a New Yorker, and Sydney, I don't know if you can speak to this, but I remember very distinctly like the times when I guess it still is kind of like this now, but not as much as it was in the 80s and 90s. But you'd have to walk around with like a key in between your fingers.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mace. You had to be prepared for actual like assault at all times, which I think has not really probably changed for everybody, especially women. It's probably always a nightmare for women.
No,
but
people are real lax. People are lax. Yeah. Like 7 years ago, I remember when I was an alcoholic and I was sucking dick. I was a different person. I've changed. But I was wasted and I fell out of the cab in front of my building and I lived in Harlem, and at the time, Harlem was gentrified, but still some shit was going down. Yeah. There was like a methadone clinic like 3 blocks away. Mm-hmm. I laid outside at like, I don't know, 4:30 in the morning for an hour. Laid out on the ground. I had a skirt, legs wide open. Yeah. Nobody bothered me. I think like 2 dudes walked over me, and they were like, ooh, the crackheads are getting real cute in the neighborhood. And that's it. Like, nobody robbed me. Nobody raped me.
What time of year was it? Just I'm thinking of weather.
Probably this was, not this, January.
No, right? It was summertime.
Oh, my God.
It was summertime. But I was like, that was a thing to put on like a Craigslist listing. Like, hey, lay down on the floor. Nobody raped or robbed me.
Yeah, right. I remember sometimes being scared in New York, though. I lived in the East Village, which you'd think would be like bougie, but was not at all in my situation.
I remember this.
And and I was leaving Boiler Room, which is a bar on East 4th and 2nd Avenue.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I lived on East 4th and Avenue D. And so I would always walk home late at night from Boiler Room. And I was looking, it's true.
I always forget it exists. It's so far east.
Yeah, but I mean, it's where I lived.
Yeah.
And I was walking home and these kids, it was literally a group of kids that had to be like 8 or 9 of them. And they were like screaming faggot and like,
no.
Like, but they would always stay like 10 feet behind me. You know what I mean? But they were like taunting me. And then I got to my door and my building always jammed with the key and I couldn't open the door and the kids were all like surrounding me. And it was one of those moments where I was like, I am a, like, minority in this situation, mm-hmm. and I could be hurt here, even though these are children. Like, yeah, I could
hate
be
teenagers.
Wait. You mean teenagers? You mean, like, 10-year-old kids?
Teenagers are fucking terrible.
For some reason,
I was wearing pinstripe pants, though. I was looking particularly gay that day.
Yes,
I will
your
say
fault.
That.
Look, Alan, we didn't doubt that you looked gay. That was not our problem with the story.
Sydney, what part of New York did you grow up in when you moved back from Oakland?
I lived in Harlem. Okay. And I lived in Harlem. Like, there was... There were no white people in my neighborhood at all when I was growing up.
Right.
It was I had to go downtown if I wanted to see beige folks. Wow. And so, yeah, obviously that's not the case now, but
sure.
I was definitely in...
Neil Patrick Harris lives there
now. My God, I know. Well, the people were talking about Bill Clinton was in Harlem on 124th at the time.
Right.
Yes. So actually there was like one or two, but yeah, it was when New York was very Sex in the City and like it was a great time.
I'm rolling my eyes.
Oh, wait, why are you rolling your eyes? Tell me.
Because when I got to NYU, it was like, it was in the throes of Sex and the City, and every girl and gay guy wanted to be like Carrie Bradshaw, and like everybody just wanted to be like, there's a lot of
more,
like vocal
please.
Fry, a lot of like boho scarf. Everybody was doing it. And I was like, gross.
You also, if there's one thing, two things Elliot hates, it's Sex and the City and Magnolia Bakery.
Yeah.
I don't hate Magnolia Bakery. I hate their cupcakes.
Okay.
I'm just low-key, the bakery is...
trash?
It's mediocre.
Their banana
it's not
pudding is good, though.
I thought it was better than Crumbs, but
banana pudding.
We digress.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? At least Crumbs gives
crumbs.
You, like... Crumbs let you know, like, we're dusty. It's called Crumbs. Like, it's like, we're not the best.
Crumbs,
the
bakery. Crumbs was this bakery... Wait, hold on. Sorry. Crumbs was this bakery... This is really important to me.
I wouldn't even call it a bakery,
they
Brent.
They make the biggest cupcakes I've ever seen. And the first year I lived in New York, like whatever, the office would get Crumbs cupcakes, you know, once a month. And you walk out and they look incredible.
I wouldn't even go that far.
And, and it's honestly, it's like eating styrofoam.
It's disgusting.
Honestly, some of the worst
I've ever had a Crumbs
pastries
cupcake.
I've ever had.
Well, you're not missing anything. They're enormous, like... enormous like Frankenstein
covered in M&Ms. Yeah.
They are disgusting. They are ugly.
Billy's Bakery though.
Billy's Bakery
but
rules.
But hold on. It was
banana
for work.
Cake. Yeah, it was.
That's
like
the cupcake
work,
you
yeah.
bring to a work function.
Yeah, yes. Very true.
It's just to let very you know. True. Yeah, I'll work with you, but I'm not really trying to fuck with you like
I ain't
that.
I'm gonna spend
you know?
The money on you.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. Can I ask you a question? I went through some of your Twitter, and I don't know if you were kidding. You said you haven't sucked a dick in 6 years. Is that true?
Six fucking years.
No way.
It's beautiful.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, Brent, step back. Brent, why are you so enthralled and surprised? Like, what is the...
I think that's great. I support you, but I think that's a little atypical, right?
Do you date women? Yes.
I'm in a full-blown gay relationship.
Oh,
yes.
This isn't surprising to us.
For some reason, I just assumed you were straight. I don't know why.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Okay, let's talk. Calm down. Well, yeah, for most of my adult career, I've been hetero and dated dudes, but that was a phase. Like, you can have a phase. It takes time to come out. And I feel like I came out too late because everybody was just like, okay. Like,
also,
long as you don't ask us for money,
you can also
you can do whatever
suck
you want.
A dick and be a lesbian and identify as a lesbian. You can. You really can. Because it literally is like, it's like pansexual. It's like, that it's, are we, so just because we identify as gay, does that mean then I can't date a trans man?
It doesn't mean you can't. It means, you know what I mean?
Right,
it doesn't mean
right,
can't. It means you're... probably won't unless you consider yourself pansexual, I think.
No, it doesn't at all. I mean, like, the biology of what people have only identifies the sexual organ in which they're having sex with, not how you identify.
Right. Honestly, I think you should only be putting dick in your mouth if you love it, okay? You gotta love it. Let's stop doing these, like, half-ass, oh, I'm gonna put it in my mouth and then take... No!
Well, in that case, I'm done, everyone. Good night.
Are people doing that?
Yeah.
I always, like, I put dicks in my mouth for intent.
See,
wait,
that's why you love
wait,
it.
What, but what is your intent?
To put a dick in my mouth.
Yes, but so you like it. You
well,
like,
yes.
You think it belongs
there. But I don't
there.
Think any... I didn't know people were actually putting dicks in
they
their mouth
definitely
that they don't
are.
Want in their mouth.
Oh,
it's
called
course.
Marriage.
Women, yeah,
no,
women who are married.
I understand. Well, okay, yes. But it's also like the women who are married are heterosexual women who...
Yeah.
They married that dick.
Yeah, but if they had a choice, if they
how dare you?
No, hold on. If they can, if they had a choice to be married and not suck dick,
yeah, okay,
or be married and suck dick, more the women latter. Be like, no, thank you. I'm not. I don't want to put it in my mouth. I'm all set.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they. Why do they do it then?
Marriage.
Their man because you, it's marriage.
Yeah,
I was like,
you have to meet in the middle. Compromise.
Okay, it's not like it's not like it's hell.
Right.
But it's like, it might not be.
It's not a steadfast rule, but like in I would that's what I would think as well.
Yeah.
I guess that it's like, yeah, I'll do that. Sure. I love you.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like whatever sexuality is, whatever you want to label it, that's fine. But I'm just tired of people doing stuff that they don't really want to do.
Yeah.
If you're not good at it, listen, I can't play basketball. I'm not going to even pretend. I'm not even playing fantasy basketball or whatever they do. I feel like you should only be doing things that you love after a certain age.
You
after 30, you shouldn't be putting dick in your mouth if you don't like
it. Yeah. You and your girlfriend are so cute.
Thank you.
Was it an anniversary or
yes.
a birthday? It was an anniversary.
It was her birthday.
How long have you been together?
Almost 5 years.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Such a cute,
wait, why didn't,
couple.
Wait, why didn't I assume that meant you were a lesbian? I don't know why. Now I feel kind of bad.
Well,
because you're a man.
No, because I was being funny about like International Women's Day because it's like, yay, we're on Twitter just like uplifting women, but it's also like, we got to make fun of this shit. It's stupid, right?
You wrote the funniest thing on Twitter that I found that I loved. You wrote, say what you want, but I know more men who roll out of bed and attend a date with their rough draft face, which is also their final draft face.
Mm-hmm.
They put absolutely no effort into what they wear, and somehow, 3 months later, end up in a long-term relationship. Please stop saying dating sucks.
Exactamundo!
So true.
Bars.
That is the like most brilliant, most brilliantly captured definition of what I see as like the exhaustion of like straight privilege and hearing about it all the time.
Well,
and Brent, you were going to say
male straight privilege.
I was pointing because that
no male
once
and
again
female.
In my own defense, that's why I think I thought you were straight because I read that first.
Oh.
And I remember thinking,
I'm confusing.
I don't think it's an offense. Because straight women are forced to put on the makeup and the dress and the thing. And you said in another tweet that if a woman showed up in sweatpants for a date, it wouldn't last very
no,
long.
No, it would
but,
not.
But gay guys, I think, do put on all airs of all kinds.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
I do. It's a come here.
They get it. You guys get it. Like, you just get it. And
you put on your leopard print.
I put on my leopard print. Alan. I put on some stuff. I moisturize.
I'm not here to drag straight men, even though that's what I do. But it's just like, you will never understand what it is to actually put effort into something all the time.
Yeah. See, I wasn't...
All the time.
Mm-hmm. I even took that a step further, and what I got from it was the idea of... it sort of makes me think of like The Bachelor, which I don't even watch because I don't understand it.
But me neither.
The conceit being that like it's so hard to, whether it's The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, it's like this world. I'm looking for the love of my life, and it's like it's so lame and almost like easy. Where I'm like, you think that like with Brent? Brent and I had a conversation recently where I was trying to get him to cut himself some slack because it was like Tinder nightmares or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, as a gay guy, I was like, allow yourself the understanding that it's hard. I'm sorry. It's just harder for us who have less options, less visibility, X, Y, and Z.
4% the options.
Right.
Of,
exactly. Yeah. So when you
say... It's 4% a lot or a little.
But that tweet just read to me as like the same thing. It's just like... I just find it
rough
exhausting.
Rough draft face is so funny.
Rough
it's
draft
so true.
Face.
Well, it comes to, because like everybody's always dragging the Kardashians, and I get it. But it's also like, listen, we built that. That's what it is.
Like
oh women have to care about the way they look. And then now we have this cookie cutter shape of like how women are supposed to look. And now it's oversaturated. So people are jumping on board. And like after you do plastic surgery once, it's kind of hard like not to keep doing it. And this is somebody who I've had breast implants twice, and I think that I'm not the most mentally stable person, but at the time when I got them, I was like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I want. I know that I look great, but I want to look better. And so I did it once, and then I was like, oh no, something's wrong. I don't like them. I wanted it. And then you just keep doing it, and then you're kind of stuck in that.
Interesting.
And do you
wait, do you mind me asking?
Yeah.
So you said you've done it twice, so you got the first round. And you were like, I don't like it. So you were like, let me get another one.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was like, I went to the dealership and I paid for a Maserati, but I came out with a Fiat. And I said, this is not going to work. Yeah. Like, well, after I got my boobs done, and people were going to be like, it kind of looked like how I was patting my bra the whole time. And I was like, that's not what I'm here for.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, did you go bigger?
I got them bigger.
Yeah.
And
does that mean they take out and put more in?
Yes. Yeah. We had saline.
You can't just add more.
They don't stack.
No. You can't
take a little pump and just do this.
No, you don't stack them. They're not cards, you fool. But I had saline, which is like water based, and then I got the cohesive gel because I was like, stop being so cheap. Just do it up, you know? Yeah. Splurge on yourself. You're investing, right?
It's a spa day.
It is. Yeah. Self-care. So then I got that, and they were bigger, and then they got small again because I lost weight, and it's just, you're never going to be happy.
How do you feel now?
Soon as I get booked on something, honey, great. I'm doing it again. I'm not even pretending.
You're going to get bigger?
Have you?
I'm going to go to Miami and get a real job.
You're like, I am dying, like literally in this life, I'm dying to make money so that I can be sustainable, but
Alan,
also get all the plastic
surgery. Wants to look like Jocelyn Wildenstein.
Really?
I want it all.
If you're going to do it, go all out.
I want it all.
You want a documentary after
you,
right?
I don't want to move my forehead.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Here's something I'll say that I've always found a little strange. I think our culture, we create these, like, the need and the desire to pursue all these, you know, cosmetic enhancements, so to speak.
Yeah.
But we also all kind of revel when it goes wrong. Yeah. There are even shows.
Botched.
Yeah, there are shows about plastic surgery going wrong. Yeah. And not to say I'm a better person because I'm a monster, but I've always been really bummed out by it because, like, even when you hear about the people who do the crazy shit where they go to a motel and get, you know,
their butt,
rubber cement it put into their butt, you're like, what are you thinking? But it's also like they just wanted to look better.
Yeah,
and it's like, why are you judging? What, like, oh, wow, I would never do that. But look at your husband. He's wearing a windbreaker at your dinner. Like, no. With your parents. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. Everybody's making bad decisions and everybody makes mistakes and you can't always be so rational when you're in it. Mm-hmm. So
Did that hurt? Do they hurt?
It did hurt. It did hurt. And, you know, they tried to give me all the drugs and I was an addict at the time, but I wasn't like that type of addict. I felt like prescription drugs is a lot of money. The upkeep, for the maintenance. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do my, like, you know, bootleg coke. This is too much. So I didn't even really do Percocets or anything. I was just like, I don't want to get hooked on this. So let me just ride it out. And it hurt.
I did.
It hurt.
I had surgery a couple years ago and I used that Percocet. Ooh, it was good. It was good month.
Good.
You took it all month?
Yeah.
I
took the whole bottle.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't offer me anything.
No.
I did. I gave you some.
Maybe you did.
No.
I'm forgetting a good friend.
I was like, or he was being a good friend by not giving them to you.
I did.
You know what's crazy though? It disappoints me to say this, but I just think pain pills are overrated. I've never had crazy ones. I've never had, like, OxyContin, but I've had Percocets, and they just make me – they give me, like, 3 hours of, like, kind of nauseous but feel pretty good. And then, like, 2 hours where I am really grumpy. I'm, quote, coming down.
Down,
it's just one. Mm. I'm coming down. I'm grumpy. I'm angry.
That's
and
why
then
you
got to
get high.
Are you doing this at home? Is this at home?
Yeah, I'll, like, take a day. You know what I used to do? I used to take a Percocet and walk around the Met in New York.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
I did that, like, once a month.
You're so upscale.
So upscale.
Who are you?
It's free there, though. Don't go too far.
Oh, no,
it's not
MoMA.
That's why I would go.
It's not Guggenheim.
I would give my credit card for, like, $2 and I would walk around for, like,
You'd
6 hours.
You'd give your credit card for $2?
Like, my hands
Who
in the
does
air.
That?
$2.
I like how you still donated.
Yeah, because I can't just walk by, but also...
But
you can.
Yeah. But you literally can.
I bet the endowment of the Met is like $10 billion. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Just a question. Did you, when you came out, was that like at an intersection of like different parts of your life, or did it just feel like this is the time? Like, I'm just curious how it unrolled for you.
Again, I said that I came out too late because like no one cared. enough. Like everybody who would care had already passed away. Like my great aunt and great uncles and my grandmother, like the people who would have like pressure on my shoulders were gone. And then I had put on Facebook that I was in a relationship with a woman or whatever. And my mom called and was like, it says here on Facebook. And I was like, blocked. I'm blocking you.
You blocked her number?
That's too easy. No, I blocked my mother.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I was like, you're blocked. Who is telling you this? It was probably my sister or my brother. Everybody blocked. And it was so simple.
Yeah.
You just block these people.
Yeah.
That's it.
But you still talk to them, right?
Here and there.
Yeah, sure.
Here and there. But I know like people who came out 20 years ago, and it literally felt like the end of the world.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying I came out too late because it's just too casual.
It's boring now.
It's like a walk in the park now.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't have that story like, well, it was a cold July Thursday and I was having dinner with a mom and dad. Like, that didn't happen.
I did a show in New York years ago. I mean, you guys did It Gets Better-ish, but there was this show called It Gets Better or whatever, and it was supposed to be about coming out stories, and I had to share mine, and I was just like, it was okay. Yeah. I basically was always out. People liked me. I was
Did you tell them about
body
the
president.
Doll? Did you tell them about the,
yes,
the doll?
Yes, that was a
butt?
Big part of it, too.
Alan lost his virginity to a Dennis Rodman figure.
No.
Doll.
Yeah.
That's our
so
favorite.
Romantic.
I know it is, isn't it?
I'm jealous.
And now, in a weird way, I'm like an ambassador to North Korea.
True. Well, Sydney, thank you so much for being here. Where can everybody find you?
Well, I'm on Twitter, which is a work in progress.
Okay. I just followed today.
Yay! It's just Sid BW. No, just Sid NYC. So JustSydNYC. And then I'm on Instagrams. That's where I'm doing that work.
Yeah,
like where I give the people what they want. Okay, I'm great at pictures. I'm like a picture book. It's great. Yeah. And it's just Sid BW. So that's JustSydBW. And then I have my podcast, The Unofficial Expert, that's on Forever Dog. Please subscribe.
Forever Dog.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
I loved it. This was great.
Yay.
Thank you.
You guys have heard us talk ad nauseum about, you know, how difficult it is to get fit, you know, be healthy. It's a lot easier said than done. That's why we love OpenFit. It's a new app. It brings the workout to you, so you lose the commute to the gym, and workouts have never been more fun and engaging. OpenFit takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room for as little as 10 minutes a day.
Listen, everybody is different, especially mine. And OpenFit gets that, which is why it's personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. These trainers know how to get you results quick, and I need them. Forget all the complexity and stress around getting fit and just press play and work out on your own schedule. You can view on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, or Roku. Lose up to 15 pounds in just 30 days. Flatten your abs, shape your body, and look good and feel great.
Guys, I used it. I loved it. Okay? I am somebody who likes to lift weights.
Testimony!
And I found that OpenFit actually showed not just what to do and had a really extensive library, but it showed how to do it, which is super important to me as somebody who's undergone some severe injuries. And OpenFit is now not only changing the way you look, but as listeners of this podcast, you are being given a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit. When you text WORSE to 303030, you will get full access to OpenFit, the workouts, and the nutritional information, all for free. So just text WORSE to 303030 and get that body right.
Squat!
And another thing. Okay, so let's talk about And Another Thing, our final segment of the show. Jussie Smollett, who was obviously the actor from
Empire.
Who? Empire?
What did you say?
What?
Empire.
Empire?
Empire.
What am I, from Europe? And but yeah, everyone knows, obviously, he got caught faking his own
He's been accused of. We haven't seen the proof yet.
Alleged. Yeah, we aren't the Washington Post, but yes, we can also say he has allegedly staged his own hate crime attack
in order to receive more money.
So that's what kind of blew me away. That's what doesn't track to me. I mean, there's a lot that doesn't track about this, but the primary motivation, from what I've read, is that he wanted more money on the show, and I don't understand how being attacked would have gotten him.
Oh, he would have gotten a public sympathy, and it would have been more PR, and it would have made him more of a valuable asset to the show rather than someone who could have a smaller storyline. I mean, I personally was like horrified when I initially saw the news and heard about what had happened to him.
Yeah, you were really upset.
Yeah, I just found it very upsetting. I thought it was just really scary, as I think a lot of people did, and you know, sort of wished him well. And I think, like most people, or I think like a lot of gay people, we kind of, there was a hint of something askew, you know, as the media started covering it, and it felt like there were just minor holes in the story. The media seemed to cover it without pointing a finger of blame. There was just like hints of stuff that was like, I don't know, you know. And
did you see that interview he gave
to Robin Roberts?
To Robin Roberts, where I think the quote was, I will never not be the person that this happened to, which is just such a weird thing. It doesn't make sense.
From the very beginning, I was suspicious about this whole thing.
Really?
And I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why.
I remember talking with Michael being like, I've always hated that dude. And I know I know something's up. And why I hated him was because when Empire first started, he played a gay character on the show, but he was closeted. Mm-hmm. Publicly. And there was all these rumors about him being gay. And then there was this highly advertised interview with Ellen DeGeneres where he was going to come out on Ellen DeGeneres, basically. And he gave the interview and he never came out during the whole interview. And it was a really awkward, weird interview. And I sympathized with him, but I also was like, bitch, you are eating up this attention. This is all about that attention. Yeah. And then he wanted to then have another chat with Ellen.
No!
Backstage. So they brought the cameras backstage. This is not the Oprah show. This is Ellen. She like, she throws water at people. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a special moment with Ellen. But Ellen comes backstage and they sit on the couch and her arms around him. And he even then still doesn't come out of the closet.
What?
But he talks about being like, you know, I think we should just all be like each other's friend, like be able to be who we want to be, all this shit. And it's basically he's going,
it's all about love, man.
Yeah. And he's saying every other way of not saying I am gay. And I'm like, you are a piece
charlatan.
Of shit
charlatan.
In it for the attention all the fucking time. Go back and watch those two clips of him on Ellen.
Really fun.
And you'll see why from the very beginning I always was like, and actually that's why I stopped watching Empire too, was I was so put off by this person. And because I liked the first season of Empire, but then he just kind of irked me.
And what about the story made you think that there were holes in it?
It wasn't so much the story. I didn't think much of the story. I mean, I did feel bad for him.
Yeah.
You know, when the news came out. But I also I work in news. You know, like I've worked in news for years. I understand that the stories often change, and when news comes in of details of things, there are oftentimes many things left out. Like, it's really suspicious why there isn't a police report from the very beginning. Why are we getting this before a police report? It's really suspicious when there's no footage in a city like Chicago that has one of the highest gun rates in the country, and every single corner of that city is photographed and videotaped.
Yeah.
Every single fucking building in that area of town has security cameras.
It's like the most videotaped city.
Exactly. And so there are all these things. And I find that, like, public, we are very quick to push around something and create a narrative of this is an attack because of Trump's America and all these things. And I'm not going to say that's good or bad in one way or the other, but I do think coming from a news perspective, you have to question the source of where things are coming from and how many people in that story, how much you can verify.
Mm-hmm. It's not only that he allegedly lied and made this whole thing up and orchestrated it, but he did so really poorly.
Yeah.
Like only a dummy would.
Yeah.
Writing a check, and the guys were extras on Empire, and one was his trainer. Like, it was like he.
Apparently the check panned out. The check was for
$3,500
for physical, like him being them for training him,
or a music video. Like, anyway, the point being that it's like, how can you make such a? How can somebody be so
vain
and depraved, and then also be so stupid? And so my takeaway
and
is
ignorant to the history of what lynching is in this country, ignorant to the history and the weight of what hate crimes are in the age of Trump, and the impact that will have, especially if, I mean, if he got caught, which he did, allegedly, of if he is, if it all pans to be true, that says, that's a horrible statement.
Because also they poured so much money into the investigation in Chicago, which I think the police department then came out and was
resources
like,
resources are wasted, already tapped in Chicago.
Right, you wasted so much of our time and our money.
Yeah.
I will say this, and this is something, I knew it was going to happen. And I know, yes, we can technically still say allegedly, obviously. There's been no trial. No trial. Yeah. But I knew it was going to happen, that people were going to come out in his defense.
Mm.
And I just... It just drives
justice for Jesse.
It drives I'm waiting for the hashtag. It's like, justice for Jesse.
I mean, I don't want to compare him to Michael Jackson, but it is all like with Leaving Neverland, with people who are so adamantly in support of Michael Jackson that they are completely ignore all the evidence that's in front of them because they're so passionately
insurmountable
in defense.
Evidence.
Exactly.
And I have a question for you guys. Do you think, since you're like murder, true crime experts, whatever, do you think that he's a sociopath? Or something else.
Well, that's, I mean, we use that
word. He's just a dumbass actor.
He's a dumbass, vain actor. And we use words like that way too loosely.
I don't know anything about that stuff. I truly don't. So I'm like, is that what a sociopath is?
It's like people being like, you know, why isn't Trump impeached yet? It's like,
well,
do the research. Google the process of government. Like, speaking of, it's not.
But also, in just in regards to the Ellen thing,
yeah.
I never liked him, not because of Empire, but because I remember he co-hosted The View for a day.
Oh, yeah?
And he was so annoying.
Okay.
And he was like, he's like buddies with Raven Simone. So they both have that child actor thing where they're always on and they're always looking for attention, but even with their own inside jokes. And I was like, I hate you. I just hate you so much.
That's how I felt with Ellen.
Yeah. I still think he's hot, but
I don't think he's
in a
hot.
Not in a crazy way.
He's definitely not unattractive.
I think Terrence Howard is hot, though, but only because he has a small penis.
Hmm.
What?
There's something about him being so forceful and like, and yeah, he's probably abused people. I think he's been accused of that. But he's like so forceful and like manly, but he has a really tiny penis.
He also has a strangely high voice.
Does he?
Very strangely high speaking voice. It's all in his nose.
He has a small penis. You should Google it.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
What would your aunt say? Brent, what would your aunt say about something we spoke about on today's episode?
I eat a Chick-fil-A and I love it.
My Aunt Joanne would say, I would never eat a Chick-fil-A. It's not kosher. It's not kosher. I'm Jewish. That's the joke.
My
joke is that she's very Jewish.
My Aunt Anne also would talk about Chick-fil-A. She would say, they might hate the gays, but I love the waffle fries.
Well, thanks for listening. I'm Elliot Glazer.
I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott. Rolling with the homies.
A podcast network. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.